Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXOradio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You're listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, hosted by Scott Dudley and yours truly, Maria Wyatt. They are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. And our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. And you can also access our podcast, live podcast, on KXOradio.com.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Welcome back. I'm Scott. That's Maria. And we've got a show today. Let's jump right in. Okay. We have the Access to Independence crew back. They're back. And if you missed the show, I think we did have 7-8 weeks ago, somewhere around there. We had Access to Independence on it, and they talked about the jack of all trades for anybody with disabilities and anything that you have going on related to some sort of Americans with Disability Act disability, which is pretty much all of them. Access to Independence is this company that you can contact. They're in Calexico. And they pretty much will hook you up with whatever stuff, and that's their whole job, is to find the resources, get stuff done, and work on helping to accommodate whatever your situation is so that you're not unneedlessly suffering. How's that for a good deal? And Letty's back, Letty Zunovich-Katla, and she's the program manager for Access to Independence, and she's got a new program more directly related to housing. Yeah, let's jump right in with you, but you will need a microphone, sadly. And then we'll expand back out. Okay.
Okay, perfect. Good morning, everybody. My name is Leti Zunovich-Katla, and I am indeed, as Scott said, the program manager of Access to Independence. We are located in Calexico, there to serve you Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 4:30 p.m. And you can give us a call at the office at 760-768-2044. Now, we are in Calexico, but we do serve the entire Imperial County, so if you can't get to us, we will go out to you. So, just Scott, as you said, we're an independent living center. We provide services directly to people with disabilities and their families. So, we have a host of services and programs that are all free. Everything we do is absolutely free to people because we're also a nonprofit. We've been here in the Valley for over 14 years, and as an organization, we're also in San Diego. We've been there about 36 years.
Nice. Did business, tell us the truth, did business spike after the radio show last time, and you were overwhelmed, Frank? Admit it.
I'll tell you what, though, quite honestly, yes. I was really surprised because I'm not kidding you.
There's people that are listening.
Someone was up and listening, and maybe they heard my glorious morning voice, and they really liked it, and they wanted to call. But I did get calls in my office, and I talked to you. I meant to call you guys and thank you because, no, they did. Absolutely, they did. And I was telling Jess this morning that over 50% of those calls that I got were directly related to a fair housing issue that I did refer over to in the fair housing. So it came together really nice.
And last time that you were here, you know, I bet all mentioned, wow, you do modifications, and then that.
Yeah.
Oh, not yet.
Not yet, but we're doing it now. So I'm really excited to be here today and to have Jess Torres here with me, the director of the Inland Fair Housing Mediation Board, because we are going to talk about this exciting new project that we started now. We started it August 1st. We have 14 projects right now on our table.
Already.
So we're really excited to tell.
Valleywide?
Yes. All in Imperial County, we're also doing it in San Diego County. So anybody interested in San Diego can call our office up there.
So whenever you get a new project, it gets like a catchy name, right? Because that way you can fund it through your nonprofit. And so what's the catchy name?
It's Accessibility 1000.
Ooh.
Why the 1000?
It's an upgrade 10, from the 500 model.
Right. Well, it's called Accessibility 1000 because initially the funding amount, the maximum funding amount available for home modifications that we would pay out was $1,000. What happened is that, you know, we realized that home modifications are costing a little more than that.
Yeah.
So,
so it's one part of the ramp.
Yeah, but our name stayed the same. The project name stayed the same. Accessibility, obviously, accessibility is a big issue for us. So our name is Access to Independence. Our project is named Accessibility 1000 because one of our primary missions is to create better and more access for people with disabilities to remain in their communities. So this project does exactly that. It goes, we go into a person's home, a contractor in this case, not myself, would go into a person's home, talk to the homeowner or the renter. So you don't have to necessarily live in your own home. It could be an apartment. And modify it. We've done bathroom modifications. They've widened doorways, built ramps. Ramps are huge. So anyone with a mobility disability that needs, you know, access to their home can get a ramp built, and we pay for the modification completely. It doesn't go over, you know, some of the limits that we do have. We pay for it. There's no out-of-pocket cost for the person. There are no hidden fees. There isn't anything that they're not going to know up front.
So right now, is there a limited amount of people that you can apply for the Accessibility 1000, or Is it limited by the amount of funding that you have?
Well, it is like everything. It's you know, limited by the amount of funding we have. But right now,
first come, first serve.
Exactly. First come, first serve. Give us a call. We're getting ready to start our first modification. We've gone through the whole application process with quite a bit of people now. So we're looking forward to getting the first project off the ground. You know, contractors are obviously the ones that are going out to the homes and doing the work, and then we come in and provide the funding for them. So we take a contractor. So
cool. Well, okay, so let's kick this over to Jess.
Yes.
We have Jess Torres here, and he's the Assistant Director of Federal Programs for the Inland Fair Housing and Mediation Board. Jess, I am a complete newcomer to the whole concept of fair housing. How did that even start as something that needed to be done, and what is its scope, et cetera, et cetera? Give us like a crash course here.
Why fair housing, right?
Well, fair housing, you know, everyone deserves the right to live where they can afford to live. So if you can afford to live in a particular community, there should be no reason why you can't buy or rent there.
Is this a government-driven thing? Or
it all stems from the Civil Rights Act of 1968, Title VIII, and the amendments that came after that in 1988, which says you cannot discriminate in the sale, rental, or negotiation of real property on the basis of, and all the protected categories, which start from race, color, religion, national origin, sex.
Mm-hmm.
And also in California, we're more restrictive than federal law. We cover protected categories such as marital status, age, source of income, and those kinds of things. So what our agency does is we serve many times as mediators, and we do landlord-tenant work. We do straight mediation between a landlord and a tenant when they're having some type of conflict. And we try to resolve the issues, but many times when we have those issues, we also see fair housing issues that pop up. A landlord cannot refuse to rent to a family with children.
Mm-hmm.
But there are...
However, they may be very reluctant to remember that, huh?
And, you know, we know that children are the ones that break the sprinklers. We know that they are the ones that leave their toys out on the walkways and so forth. But... that
color on the wall.
that's something that a landlord has to do. Landlords don't like the increased wear and tear.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is many times they'll limit the number of children, or else they'll say to you, well, you know, it's a shame this apartment was just rented, when it really isn't. So our agency investigates those types of discrimination complaints. And one of the protected categories is disability. Disability... was added in the amendments to the Fair Housing Act in 1988. You cannot discriminate on the basis of disability. So you cannot refuse someone. And the other thing is that you cannot refuse someone what we call a reasonable accommodation or a reasonable modification. And there's where our collaboration with Leti is to help landlords learn what their responsibilities are when they have a disabled tenant who is asking for a ramp. And what is so great about their program is they will actually come in and pay to put in a ramp. Mm-hmm. And that is fabulous. This is something that in our main area is in the Inland Empire in San Bernardino County. We have an office here on 8th Street in El Centro. And what we see is this. Disability, race was always our number one complaint.
Hmm.
Within the last 4 to 5 years, disability has jumped up to the number one complaint that we receive. The calls that we were getting are by far much higher based on disability. And we do a lot of reasonable accommodation requests with landlords. Simple things like, when I first came to your apartment, I was fine. I had an auto accident. Now I'm in a walker. And you have, your parking is first come, first serve. Where, you know, whoever gets the parking, that's where you park. And I'm asking that you assign me the parking space that's right in front of my apartment. Well, a lot of landlords don't want to do it. They say, well, if I do that for you, then everyone else is going to want their own assigned spot. But
you've talked to landlords before. I can tell.
We've talked to
them. That was like right on. Okay. You nailed it.
But jumping back, regarding the ramps, you know, I'm a landlord. I'm not. But let's say I am. And, you know, I like you said, you know, I rented to a person. Person was in an accident, now they're in a wheelchair. So does that mean that if Accessibility 1000 was not around, it would have to come out of my pocket?
Yes, as if the you're absolutely right, because if the property was built prior to March 13th of 1991, the landlord is not responsible to make all the common areas and everything accessible. Mm-hmm. Multifamily housing that's built after that is required to have accessible common areas, apartments that are wide enough, that have doors wide enough, and so forth. But when we talk about a reasonable modification, where I'm asking you that I need to put in a ramp, you must, as a landlord, you must allow it, as long as it's not going to cause some undue financial hardship for you, or some great inconvenience for all the other tenants.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the way the layout of the apartment complex is set up, maybe a ramp is not feasible. But what the landlord has to do is they have to be as creative as possible in trying to find a way to provide the reasonable modification, even though I might have to pay for it. That's why we think that the Accessibility 1000 program is a great program.
This also apply to houses, you know, because a lot of people rent, you know, buy houses for a rental income.
Exactly. It applies to all housing. Houses, so the owner of that house must allow a modification as long as it's not going to cause those things, some great financial hardship for him, or something that's going to cause problems where maybe the house is on a hill and a ramp would be 100 feet long, say, to be able to do it, to code. Then maybe that type of modification request might be considered unreasonable. But what we tell landlords is you need to look at the situation. You want to be as creative as possible in helping this disabled person get the ramp. Because what we find is we've dealt with the disabled for many, many years, and we see that accessible housing is almost non-existent. It's so hard for me as the person in a wheelchair to find a unit that I can live in that's accessible. So it's really great that with Accessibility 1000, there are going to be more and more units that are going to become accessible. The stock of accessible housing is going to increase.
Nice.
And at no cost to the landlord. Or a homeowner who qualifies for it.
Or indeed a possible payoff, because in theory you could charge what the market will bear in most circumstances in terms of rent, and if you've got a place that's in demand because it's accessible, then first of all, you'll have it full more often, and then secondly,
exactly.
You need to get another $50 a month, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think that the fact that, you know, we always recommend to landlords, too, if someone's willing to come in and put a ramp on your property, leave it there. You don't have to put it back because that person leaves.
Right.
Those of us who are not disabled, going up a ramp is not a problem at all. But when you have even one step and you're in a wheelchair, you've got problems. You're not going to be able to manage getting up there unless someone is going to lift you and help you in there. So we, as persons who are not disabled, we don't realize just how difficult it is when you're in a wheelchair, when you're in a walker, when you have some type of mobility impairment to get around and to live someplace, you know, so that you're relatively comfortable.
So in other words, for our listeners, you know, if they are in a home or they're in a wheelchair or they have a disability or they're, you know, they can't move, take a walker, and they're in a rental place or a rental house or an apartment, or they own their own home, you know, this is a great program.
It really is.
And then homeowners should also know, you know what, reasonable.
Exactly. And that's our part in this partnership, is to assist those tenants who have landlords who say, no, you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
I won't allow it. So we're going to step in, and we're going to look at to see if the request is really unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, normally, a landlord can determine this is not reasonable, but we look at it with different eyes, too. We're looking at it, is it going to cost you anything? What is it going to cost? Is it going to create a great inconvenience to other tenants? And if it's not, then by law, you must allow it. And we will assist that tenant in exercising their rights.
This is a Let's Talk About It first. If you have any spare housing questions, you can call right now. 337-8874 is the phone number. We're here with Jess Torres. He's the Assistant Director of Federal Programs of the Inland Fair Housing and Mediation Board. Now, you see, you guys are the decision makers. Is that it? I mean,
well, we don't have enforcement power. We don't have the guns and badges.
You're the like a mediation.
Yes. We're a private nonprofit. But what we can do is we can educate landlords. We do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We educate landlords on their fair housing responsibilities and their rights, too, because landlords always feel like, I have to deal with all my tenants, and now I have to walk this fine line and make sure I don't violate fair housing laws. But the laws are there, just like getting on the freeway and the speed limit is 65 or 70 or whatever it is. You can't go beyond that speed.
Mm-hmm.
And they just stay on your side of the road.
And so, you know, landlords want to feel like, you know, I want to be able to rent the property to whoever I want, and no one should tell me who I can rent to and who I cannot.
It's kind of like a, where was it? Well, I went to a store, and, you know, the store says, you know, we refuse the right to serve. You know, so sometimes landlords think like that, too, you know.
Right. Well, a lot of landlords say, I just don't want to rent to families with children.
Yeah.
Some will not want to rent to disabled because they feel it's a liability. They're going to get hurt on my property. They're going to sue me. And we tell them, no, that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
As long as your property is well-maintained, there's no hazardous areas there, you can't stop someone from suing you, but that doesn't mean that you're going to be liable for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really look at the rights of the disabled and the fact that there really is very little accessible housing available to them. So with this program, it really is amazing that it's going to allow increased accessibility throughout the valley. I think this is something that we would like to have in Lee and the Lampire. So I've invited Leslie. See what you can do about expanding your program because it's so needed. And this is not just in the Imperial Valley and in the Inland Empire. This is across the country. We see statistics where the disabled and disability calls coming in are well above all the other calls that we get.
So
it's those aging baby boomers,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So before, like you said, it was the race.
You still get race, but it's still prominent. But disability is our number one call. And all of the other fair housing agencies up and down California, we talk to them, and they're experiencing the same thing.
If some landlord, I'm still in this kind of push comes to shove mentality mm-hmm. in my head, if some landlord just basically puts their fingers in their ears and says, I don't hear you, mm-hmm. and you don't have enforcement authority, is this a legal matter or civil matter, or how does it pull out?
We know people with guns and badges. The Department of Housing and Urban Development.
And they're our friends.
HUD has been given the charge mm-hmm. to enforce the Fair Housing Act. There's also, in California, there's the Department of Fair Employment and Housing. They enforce discrimination complaints in housing in California. So together, those two agencies, what we do is we try to educate the landlord as to their responsibilities. We will also tell them, these are your rights also. We will make them aware that they must allow this ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they can insist that when I leave, that I take the ramp out.
Mm, okay.
They can insist that I do that. I would be required to put it back to its original condition. But we recommend to them, why, if you have a door widened, why would you narrow mm-hmm. the door back? Really no need for that. But if you put in a ramp or grab bars, why not leave them there? Those of us who don't need them, I've been in hotels and the other places where there's a grab mm-hmm. bar, it doesn't cause any mm-hmm. inconvenience at all. So we really feel that those of us who are not disabled are not inconvenienced whatsoever by ramps and grab bars and things like that.
Well, sure, and even if you don't need it, somebody who... Mom comes over to visit, or even little kids use grab bars to avoid.
Well, we know that all of us, at one time or another in our lives, are going to be disabled. As we get older, we are going to be disabled. Think about it.
In all probability,
you will eventually need help. I'm already planning for my children to take care of me when I can't move. So it really is, as we get older, we do all become disabled in one form or another. We start walking slower, you need a cane, you need this, that, to get around, and so it's
hopefully
something...
Hopefully by then they will have hovercraft.
There you go.
We had the Alzheimer's Association on a couple of weeks ago, and I heard that show, and I started preparing my children, and they've all changed their addresses and cell phone numbers. So maybe I won't call them after the show.
We deal with a lot of disabled who have mental disabilities, too. And those are that's a whole another story regarding a reasonable accommodation request for someone who maybe is schizophrenic, someone who is autistic. Those kinds of things we deal with all the time. So I think the greatest thing is to have increased education throughout the valley here, throughout the United States, really. Landlords, the more they know about fair housing, the better it is. It makes for a much better housing community. Requests for reasonable accommodations, reasonable modifications will be granted much more readily.
Yeah. I want to remind the listeners, too, that if you're hearing this, this is pretty cool stuff. We are going to have this up on podcast in a week or so on KXLRadio.com. And then anybody who needs to access this in terms of information at any point in time can do it, not just those lucky drivers who happen to be tuning in this morning. So this is Let's Talk About It. Let's take a short break. It's top of the hour. We'll come back, do a little bit more show, and talk with Justin Luddy a little bit more. Thanks.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services, each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUDO 88.7 FM Radio Bilingue.
Welcome back. Good morning. You're listening to Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness here in Imperial Valley. I'm Scott. Maria's changing keys somewhere. She'll be right back. And we're brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and your friends at KUVO Radio and Mario, our very cool executive producer, guitar player. And make sure and catch the podcast on KXLRadio.com. Coming up a week or so after the show. There's really a wealth of good shows now in the bank. It's like the bank, right? It's like the savings account. And I go back every once in a while and I like that show. That's a good show. But what happens is today we're talking about disability and fair housing. And you know, it's a topic you may not need today. And you may be like, I'm cool. But then someday, you know, or something might happen, or you might have a neighbor, or you might have a friend, or somebody comes over for Thanksgiving dinner, and they're telling you a story, and you can be like, hey, wait, you know what? They talked about something like that. You know, where was it? KXLRadio.com, that's right. And then go look Let's Talk About It up and look at the podcast, and now you have a source of information that you can provide that person right there and then to kind of meet whatever need might be going on, okay? So it's a good deal. 337-8874 is the phone number. Again, we are Let's Talk About It. We have multiple guests today, so let's do this right. Letty Zuno Vizcarra is a program manager for Access to Independence, and they're the really cool people who have this Access 1000 program that's allowing people with disabilities to get modifications done and actually paying for quite a bit of that or all of it, in fact. We also have Jeff Torres, who's the Assistant Director of the Federal Programs of the Inland Fair Housing and Mediation Board. And when we left this adventure, Jeff was giving us, enthralling us with fair housing stories, because, yeah, this is something we had never talked about before. So we're all sitting on the edge of our seats going, well, okay, what happens then? What happens then? And right where we left, I'm going to go right back to that, because I was, you know, we're the mental health people, so you were already getting my interest. We talked about some, like, ambulatory problems, and I think maybe for most of us, when we think disability, we think wheelchairs, we think walkers, we think that kind of thing. And then right before the break, you alluded, Jeff, to modifications that might be made for people with mental health problems or people with developmental problems. Can we jump back into that and let's talk about what somebody with schizophrenia might need in terms of a home accommodation and what you've experienced in your you know, fair housing days?
Well, when you have someone who lives in apartment style living, you know, you're close to others, and they suffer from some type of mental disability, it could be that that particular person is maybe not taking their medication when they should. Or possibly the medication that they're taking is no longer effective. We've had a reasonable accommodation request where a particular tenant is being evicted because everyone's afraid of him. He's going up to people and he's being rather aggressive mm-hmm. with others. And he's not physical, but he's
acting different than everyone else. Different.
And, you know, all of us were afraid of someone who's different than us. We don't understand it. We just don't want to be close to that person. And that's something that, you know, we always fight to try to change that perception. Educating landlords about mental disabilities and how people act and how they interact with others. When we do reasonable accommodation requests with someone who has been given a 30-day notice to vacate,
oh, because of their ADA protected disability. Nice, I like it.
Yeah. So what happens is, just because you are a member of a protected class, it doesn't mean that you have carte blanche to do whatever you want. You still have to pay the rent. You still have to follow the rules.
Sure.
But with a situation with someone who's acting up, maybe their meds are not working properly, we get involved and we try to find a solution. And again, we ask landlords and managers, let's be as creative as possible in trying to keep this person here. People with Tourette's, all kinds mm-hmm. of different issues. And what we found was a particular mediation that we did. We found that this person's medications were not working. We got a hold of family members. They went back to the physician. And they prescribed different medication, and it took care of the problem. And in seeing this, the manager, he put a hold on the 30-day notice that was given until we found some solution. When he saw that things changed, he rescinded the notice, and he allowed that person to stay. Because that person, if they were evicted, they were going to have a hard time finding other housing.
Sure, that may have triggered further decompensation.
They would have been out on the streets. They would have been taxing other social service agencies, and when there was really no need.
That's why I mean, and jump into another thing. That's why our mental health services that set aside money to build permanent housing for the mentally ill, as well rental, you know, vouchers for rental,
right,
because of the problem of people, landlords, not wanting to rent to the mentally ill.
Exactly.
And having so many difficulties in getting housing, a lot of them have ended up homeless. You know, families probably don't want them. Transitional housing doesn't want them.
Exactly.
What else, you know?
We deal with that issue all the time. I was very impressed with the presentation that I went to at a fair housing conference, and it was a mental disability group. They were giving the presentation, and I listened to this presentation for about an hour, and then the person said, I was a patient here. I became a spokesperson. And so we took that concept and we use it with our education with landlords. We invite persons who have disabilities to come and speak. Because I think one of the biggest things is when you educate people about mental disabilities is they don't understand them. All they know is they're just afraid of these people and they don't want to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
When they start to meet them and see really what how things really are, it really brings down barriers. It's a tough sell either way, but when we educate landlords about this and we actually show them someone who's mentally disabled and how they can interact with them, they start to have a different view. And hopefully it translates into them renting to someone and also being just a little bit more as they're dealing with them on a day-to-day basis.
Compassionate.
And also creative. And how do we keep you here so that you can live comfortably just like all the other tenants in the complex?
Yeah.
The one thing I'd like to mention, which I haven't, is, you know, our office is here in El Centro, and it's located at 444 South 8th Street. If anyone needs just information, all our services are free Access to Independence is also. We do not charge for our services. Our services are both in English and in Spanish. And our phone number is 482-5773. So if someone has just a question, they just want to know about their rights, we will answer that for them. We will help them with a discrimination complaint. We will help them with the straight landlord-tenant issue. And they can come in, they can call. We will make sure that they get the information they need.
And the, you know what, that's a great service because both in English and Spanish, a lot of people don't know their rights. And we're talking about mentally ill, you know, the landlord can just say, you know what, you're out of here. You're being disruptive, you know, because maybe they're not taking their meds, or maybe they're
not taking their medication. Maybe life's that really stressful.
Or maybe stressful, you know, they're bipolar.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
You know, and it's something that, you know.
Yeah, we do a lot of case development to find out what their situation really is. And then we look at how can we help them stay where they are. Because we know if we can keep them in housing, it's more stable for everyone.
So buy some time and look for stabilization.
And that's the hardest thing we've had to deal with is the housing issue.
Right.
You know, a lot of, especially with, I work with the transition age youth, the 16 to 25 who are, you know, have a mental health disorder, and they're getting out of the foster care system, trying to find housing. It's
right.
So hard. And,
it is.
And a lot of landlords don't want to because they're young.
Right.
You know what?
We try to deal with
what's worse than a family with kids, a 23-year-old.
Yeah, an 18-year-old. You know,
we do a lot of education with high school seniors and college freshmen because they are either still at home or they're just about to get an apartment, and we educate them on your first apartment is your most important.
Well, they
it's
have going for to credit.
Determine.
They ask
yeah.
for credit. Some of them don't have
we've
credit.
We've gone to educate college freshmen, and we show them a typical rental application and a rental agreement. And they look at us and say, you know, there's 8 pages here. Why so much just to rent an apartment? Well, they don't realize what it takes to rent an apartment. So we do that education. And one of the things that we do, we are not tenant advocates. we are a neutral third party. We will assist a landlord as quickly as we will assist a tenant.
Oh, okay.
So if a landlord calls us and they want information about a particular issue, we will help them with that. We will also mediate with the tenants. If a landlord says, well, I've given them a rent increase, they won't pay it. They're saying that they know that there's a law that I can't raise the rent by a certain amount, and they won't pay the rent increase. They're a good tenant. I don't want to evict them, but they won't listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
So we will call the tenant and tell them whether this landlord has the right to raise the rent or not.
Okay.
And, some people, well, let me ask you, what do you think the maximum amount of increase at any one time? What's the maximum a landlord can raise the rent at one time? What would you think?
Like it to be 5%, but I'm suspecting it's more like a credit card company. It's probably more like 15% or something.
Okay, so see, 15%, 5%, $50. There is no rent control in the Imperial Valley that I know of, other than if you're in subsidized housing or Section 8 housing. A landlord, there's no limit to the amount a landlord can raise the rent at any one time.
Is there a notification scheduled? Well, X number of days to find out?
You have to have proper notice. If the increase is 10% or less, they're required to give you a 30-day notice. If it's more than 10%, the landlord has to give you a 60-day notice. So there are a lot of rules, a landlord-tenant rules and regulations that most tenants,
landlords are
not responsible. Landlords are only going to raise the rent to landlords want market rate.
Sure.
But they'll go with what the market will bear. But they need to know what their responsibilities are, too. And tenants need to know that, too, because the more knowledge both sides have, the less varied the
responses
are.
And it's on the other side, not all landlords are going to be like that. They listen to hear this and they say, I'm going to double the rent.
Well, they can, but they won't have any
empty units.
Exactly. They'll have the empty units.
Especially in these times.
And the ideal thing for landlords is to have somebody there that stays there for very long.
Exactly. A lot of landlords will charge you actually just a little bit lower rent, with the hopes that you are going to stay there longer. Mm-hmm. Landlords want someone who's going to follow the rules, who's going to pay the rent. That's what they're looking for.
Sure.
And in these times, one thing I'd like to say about our agency and the services that we provide, we're in really troubled times right now. Economically, the housing market is way down.
I know, I heard it on the news.
One of the things that we do that's very important, that's unrelated to the Accessibility 1000 program, is that we do default and foreclosure counseling. We help homeowners who are in risk of losing their homes to foreclosure. We help them get loan modifications, forbearance agreements, something to keep them in their home if that's what they want to do. We do not charge for our services. There are a lot of companies that have cropped up that will charge you. We've had people pay as much as $8,000 to an attorney firm and not get one bit of service. We will help that homeowner facilitate a modification of their loan. And there's some exciting new programs coming down that might help even more. We're waiting to hear about these programs, and hopefully in the near future we'll be able to offer even more assistance to homeowners. And so if anyone out there is in risk of losing their home to foreclosure, call us. We will do everything that needs to be done. The interview takes about an hour. You have to gather some documents, but that's all it's going to cost. From start to finish, it will not cost a penny for a homeowner to try to save their home.
And that's good, because you hear a lot of people here in the Valley that have lost their homes. Hear companies come in and say, sign over your deed. Sign over your deed, and we'll take care of it.
Exactly.
Guess what?
They don't take care of it.
They don't, and they end up at the house.
Right. they sign over their home, but they still have the loan.
They still have the
debt.
They
still have to pay the debt.
They still have to pay the debt.
And they don't realize it. And what we're finding is we have done well over 6,000 counseling sessions for persons and helping them save their homes. We find that most borrowers don't really understand their loan documents. We also do first-time home buyer
which the first 40 pages of them, or the next 40? And
they sign them all, but there's basic parts of your loan documents that tell you how much interest you're paying, mm-hmm. how long you're going to pay it for, when the interest is going to change, if it's a variable rate, whether you have a balloon payment. All of that is readily viewable in just a few pages of your loan doc if you know what to look for. So one of the other things we do is first-time home buyer education.
Teach them what to look for.
We have an eight-hour course that tells you, first, are you ready to buy a home? And if you are, here's what it entails. And then we teach them how to read loan documents so that hopefully they can avoid foreclosure in the future because they've made a more educated decision.
That's tremendous. And, it's interesting today because you've got this whole wide spectrum of housing stuff from Jess, and then we've got this whole wide spectrum of disability stuff from Letty, and the two come together in this one little Access 1000 program.
It's a great collaboration,
but there's really a lot of housing stuff.
Well, housing is that's shelter.
Really tight to mental health.
We were talking earlier about what is fair housing. Where you live to a great extent determines where you work, where your children go to school, what community you live in, what amenities you have. So when you are steered away from a community, when you are not allowed to buy in a community or rent in a community that you want, you can't have your kids go to the schools that you had planned on them going.
That could be a game changer.
Most definitely.
And you wouldn't have access to the same parks. You might go to different places of worship. Stores, everything.
Access to services. Mm-hmm. The access to community services that they all need.
Right. And we've seen across the board, persons of color, African-Americans, Hispanics, traditionally, regardless of income levels, will get inferior loan terms on a home, as well as being steered away from or to an area. So that's something
even someplace like locally where it seems like so much of it's predominantly Hispanic here.
Right.
You're in the minority here.
Does that make this a richer place for people to come in and exploit, or is because it's predominantly Hispanic, are we able to kind of mitigate that somewhat?
Because of the culture, Hispanic borrowers, Hispanic homeowners, potential homeowners, once they find an agent who speaks Spanish and has knowledge about the process, they put their hands in that, everything with that agent, and they leave it to the agent, and they trust the agent, and they're very loyal. And we find that Hispanic borrowers look at when we explain their loan terms to them, this is in the foreclosure part of it, they said, no, the agent said it was going to be this and this and this, and it's not. So we're finding that with a large Hispanic population, there is a greater ability, would you say, to maybe sell a loan product or a higher interest rate than this person actually bargained for. They don't understand it. If you're signing loan documents in English and maybe you don't understand English that well, you've got issues there. You've really got some issues. So we are seeing people that have balloon payments, and they ask us, what's a balloon payment?
They've owned their home.
If you have to ask,
exactly.
That's a big problem already. Right. Huh? And you've owned
your
home.
That was never, right. Like you said, the language barrier.
Sure.
The
things like option arms. You have four options to pay your mortgage every month. And you have a 30-year fully amortized amount. You have a 15-year fully amortized amount. And then you have the lowest amount. And the variance can be from a $2,100 a month payment to $700. So an Hispanic couple who just bought the home,
they get
the bill and they say, well, you know what? I'd rather not pay $21. I'm going to pay $7. That's better for me. But they don't understand that they're in a negative amortization loan where their principal amount is increasing every month. They don't understand that because it wasn't explained clearly to them.
I know. That's scary.
So they get into problems, and then they find out, you know what? My house is $12,000 more than when I started at the beginning of the year. Why? They don't know why.
And then they don't know why they're anxious or depressed. Now you're into my game.
So, you know, let me just say this. All of our counselors, we have several counselors that do the default foreclosure. There are tissue boxes on every table because we have people that come in and the husband and wife are at each other because, where is this? Yeah, I told you to bring this, and they're at each other because they're just stressed.
Food, clothing, and shelter. And so shelter is like a fundamental need. And
but I can tell you when they leave, a lot of the stress is taken away because at least they know exactly where they, because when they come in, they're not sure what they can do and what they can't do. When they leave, just the knowledge, even if it's not good news, they know this is where we stand. This is clear now. And now we can make a decision from this point forward.
Perfect. This is a perfect time to give out your contact information,
yes,
just one more time.
Okay. Well, we're located at 444 South 8th Street, and our phone number is 492-5773. And we're open from Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
I'm going to be using your services, too, with
all my
youth and young adults that I have.
Most definitely. Yeah, we make ourselves available.
Say you heard it on Let's Talk About It, and we'll give you lots of, I don't know, free gratitude or something else. All right, Letty, tell me about Access for Independence. Give us a two-minute commercial for Access for Independence.
All right. Well, we're
Access for Independence. Thanks for bringing us a good guest today.
Anytime. We're Access for Independence. We're in Imperial Valley's local independent living center, providing services and programs free of cost to persons with disabilities and their family. We provide peer support groups. We host them at this point once a month. Every third Wednesday of the month, we do peer support groups for persons with disabilities. We provide a lot of information and referral to people that call. We do a lot of advocacy. We have the client assistance program that helps any person with a disability that's looking for vocational rehabilitation services, looking to get employed or reemployed. We help them with the process of their vocational rehab plans and goals. And we have the Accessibility 1000 program, where we're now paying for home modifications for persons with disabilities.
Great. And people want to contact you?
Everybody's welcome to give us a call. Our number is 760-768-2044. We have a fully bilingual staff. We're open Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 4:30 p.m.
And Ace, now where your office is at when I was in Calexico.
Right, we're in Calexico, 400 Mary Avenue.
Right down the corner.
Suite D. We're right in the corner. Go walk inside. It's Suite D, and our colors are there very vividly. Green
Beautiful.
And blue.
Beautiful. Thank you both for coming aboard today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for providing all this rich information for our community. And like I said, the Gore Behavioral Health, this is a good resource.
Well, thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Sure. And next week is, we're actually September 2nd, I think, next week. And September is National Alcohol and Drug and Substance Recovery Month. And we're going to start off with recovery stories from some of our dual diagnosis consumers. So stay tuned for that. It's always great shows.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening today, and join us again. This is Let's Talk About It.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXOradio.com.